Thank you, Freddie and worship team, for helping to focus our attention on the Christ of Calvary. We are here at the most important weekend in human history, the time when we remember that which separates time as we know it on our calendars, but also that separates life as we know it in terms of reality. We're here to celebrate the death of Jesus Christ. We've been hearing through our worship time already the seven last words that Jesus spoke from the cross. And if you try to imagine if you were there at the foot of the cross that day, it would be an awful experience, but there was someone in the crowd to whom it was probably the most agonizing. It was the one to whom Jesus looked down and said, "Woman, behold your son. Son, behold your mother." Can you imagine Mary's heart that morning? Can you imagine the agony she was going through as she looked up and saw that bleeding man, that pierced, plucked, bruised, punched, broken man? That was her baby. And I'm sure she stood there and looked under her breath. She was saying, "Yeshua, Yeshua, my Yeshua." Her mind was flashbacking to all the events of his life. She could remember even that week, just a week ago, he was riding into the city and the people were waving branches and shouting, "Hosanna," and just hours before they were shouting, "Crucify him." She'd watched the religious leaders and the soldiers, people torture, slap, kick, punch, wound. She was there on the Via Dolorosa as he was falling under the weight of the cross and being mocked and spit upon. And then she had flashbacks to his childhood when, 12 years of age, they went to Jerusalem. And on their way back, Jesus was missing. And 2 days of inner agony, wondering if her child was lost, she goes back and finds him and he says, "Mom, didn't you know I had to be about my father's business?" He'd been debating with the religious leaders in the temple, instructing them on the ways of God. And then her mind goes further back as she remembers that little baby at her breast where she used to sing to him, "Yeshua, Yeshua, my precious Yeshua." And then all of a sudden the reality burst in again as she remembered the day that began it all. She was just a young teenage girl and minding her own business, going about her ways, when all of a sudden the angel of the Lord appeared to her and said, "Mary, you're going to have a baby." She said, "Impossible. You got the wrong one. I love Joseph. We're engaged, but no, we've done nothing." The angel said, no, that's not what I mean. You're going to have a baby not from Joseph. The Holy Spirit is going to come upon you, and that which will be born of you is from God Himself. And you shall give Him the name Yeshua. Name Him Yeshua, because He's going to save His people from their sins. Now this name Yeshua was very common in that day. It was kind of like Bob or David would be in the West, or like Muhammad or Mahmoud would be in this area. Very common name. Many children were named Yeshua in that day. But somehow this name, even though it was common in that day, this name captures and proclaims something about the nature and character of God that we see acted out before us on the Easter weekend, and that's what we're going to look at this morning. In this name, we discover that God is the one who saves. Will you please join me in prayer before we study this? Lord God, on this most important weekend, a weekend of reflection, a weekend of looking back to the center point of human history, we ask, Lord, that as we examine this announcement that You gave to Mary and Joseph to name their baby Yeshua, we pray, Lord, that as we study that name, as we examine for what it means, we pray, Lord, that You'll open our eyes again to understand as perhaps never before the significance behind the name. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Yeshua is the Hebrew way to say Jesus. Latinos call him Jesus. In this area, he's referred to as Isa. There are many different dialects and translations, but the name we studied this morning comes from, it traces back to Numbers chapter 13, verse 16, where God tells Moses to give Hoshea, son of Nun, the name Joshua. We know it as Joshua, but this name means Jehovah is salvation. Joshua is a contraction of Jehovah Yasha, which means Jehovah, the Lord God Almighty, is the one who is mighty to save. Jehovah is salvation. So it goes Jehovah Yasha to Jehoshua to Joshua. Then it's contracted further to Yeshua. So this is the name. That's the etymology of it. Now when this name was given to Joshua, Jehovah Yasha, you remember that that's indeed what God did through him. It was the salvation that was brought to Israel as a nation on their way into the promised land. Through Joshua's leadership, victory was secured. The walls collapsed, giants fell, armies were routed, the land was possessed. Truly, Jehovah Yasha was their Savior, and He was showing Him strong and mighty to do that. Now, I know a lot of people who say, yeah, but look at the other side of that. That's not the kind of God I want to know, going in there beating up people, killing people, destroying armies and animals and possessions. I know a lot of people who read the Old Testament and they say, oh, that's not, I don't like God. I like Jesus, He's a nice guy. But I don't like God in the Old Testament. These two people aren't the same. Dear friends, God's actions in Scripture will never, ever, ever make sense until you understand the essence of His nature. God has been, is now, and always will be Jehovah Yasha, the God who saves. And until you fix that firmly in your mind and heart, like I say, life will appear very, very confusing. I remember the first year Brenda and I were married. We decided to have a nice Christmas break. We were still in Bible school at the time. We wanted to get some downhill skiing done. So we drove 500 miles west to Banff, Alberta, and skied for a couple days, and then we were going to get back in the car the next morning and on Christmas Eve and drive home, make it back home in time for Christmas Eve and Christmas Day with the families. But something unusual happened that day, which completely changed the course of events of not just our Christmas, but very significant other than that as well. Because after our day of skiing that evening in the village, I was stabbed by a man with a knife. Cut me across the abdomen. I lost part of my insides. Were hospitalized, obviously, for a number of days. Touch and go, lost a lot of blood. Could have died. Needless to say, we never got home for Christmas. Brenda was alone for Christmas in a hotel room. It was a rather raunchy way to spend our first Christmas. But you know that guy who stabbed me? I didn't hold it against him. I didn't feel bad. I didn't ask the cops to go after him. And it's not because I was a good Christian, not because I had a great attitude. The reason I didn't go after that guy, the reason I didn't feel bad about it, as a matter of fact, I really appreciated that he did that. The reason is because he was a doctor who took my appendix out. paradigm shift, right? Yeah, see, I know what you were thinking before. How could anybody do such a thing? Still had a knife. Still cut. Still drew blood. Still lost part of my insides. Still almost died. Still ruined my Christmas vacation. But I thank God for that man. Why? Why? How could I view so positively something which would be so negative? How? Because I understood his intent. I knew that his purpose was not to harm me. His purpose was to save my life. And until you and I discover that, dear friends, until you and I know that about God, we will always hold Him in suspicion. We will always second guess what He's trying to do with us. Some of you are going through tough times right now. Or you've been through tough times, or you've had experiences in your life where you go, how could God allow that? If He's such a loving God, then how, then why, then, and all the questions roll. Until you know that you know that you know that He is Jehovah Yasha, none of those things will make sense. But when they do, it won't take away the pain, it won't give you a wonderful first Christmas, but it will make a lot of sense. And you, as you view it through the eyes of the one who is Jehovah Yasha. If you walk through Scripture with that backdrop, you will see the Bible come to life. Like a doctor, God wounds in order to heal. God kills in order to preserve life. God takes away in order to bless. God punishes in order to prevent further self-destruction. His very nature is to save, and He will do anything and everything possible in order to save people, because people matter to God. People matter to God. You matter to God. You are dear to Him. You are very, very important to You. And He will do anything it takes to rescue you, to save you, to redeem you, to keep you. Because that's who He is. You may say, well, why does anybody need to be saved in the first place? For the same reason that I needed surgery. We all have a sickness, we have a disease, we have a soul cancer, if you will, that must be removed from us, or it will remove us. The disease of which I speak is our anti-God selfishness. And it destroys everything in its path, including marriages and families, our physical, emotional, mental, and spiritual health. It cripples all relationships. It destroys society at large. It produces greed and hatred, deceit and envy, murder and adultery and immorality and abortions and gossip, rebellion, jealousy, pride, fear. I could go on and on and on. In short, it destroys the life that God created us to enjoy. It destroys it both now and forever. Is anybody here who's ever wished that you could conquer a bad habit that you have? Now, I'm not just talking about a twitch. I'm talking about a bad habit. You know that one where it hits you again and you go, oh God, why did I do that? That problem that has traced you all your life, you know, and you get to the place, surely by now I should be able to get over this, and boom, you're on your face again. You ever wish you could, if only I could remove that from my life. If only I could stop doing that. If only I could stop falling for that temptation. Anybody, you don't have to raise your hand, but you identify? If only. Or then after the fact, if only I hadn't. What do I do now? Is there any way out of this? Dear friends, if you identify with any of that, I have some fabulous news for you this morning. Jehovah Yasha! God saves. It's who He is. He loves to rescue His people. Saving people is the essence of His being. That's just what He does. It flows out of His nature. You may say, well, how does He do it? Well, God has a plan. In Matthew 1:18, we read about the angel explaining to Joseph that he should not fear to take Mary as his wife, because she hadn't been being immoral. She wasn't fooling around on the side. It was the Holy Spirit who had produced this baby within her. In verse 21, the angel said, she will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Yeshua, because He will save His people from their sins. A similar message was given to Mary in Luke chapter 1, verses 30 to 33. Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son. You are to give him the name Yeshua. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end. Why give him the name Jesus? Why? Because not only does the name reflect who God is, not only does the name tell us the very person of God, but it also tells us the plan of God. This is how God is going to save. This baby who will be Son of the Most High, this baby who is God in flesh, will bring about the salvation that is part of God's nature, character, and essence. How many of you here this morning do not know how to swim? If you don't know how to swim, if we threw you in the ocean, it would be goodbye. Go ahead, put your hand up. You don't have to be embarrassed. Okay, we've got a number here who do not know how to swim. Now, if there was a person who was drowning out here, if there was an ocean or a lake or whatever, and they were drowning, would you be the best candidate to go and rescue them? Probably not. Why? Because you've got the same problem. Okay. Well, we're all in the sea, drowning in sin. Every single one of us. Some lots of sin, some little sin. Some shallow water, some big water. But we're all in trouble. We're all drowning. Which one of us is going to rescue? Who is able to perform that rescue? It can only be somebody who doesn't have that problem. Somebody who is removed from the problem of sin. They know how to swim through it. They know how to get around it. They're not brought down by it. Well, dear friends, this God, whose very nature it is to save, knew that the only possible way for humanity to be saved from our sin was for Himself to come here in flesh and remove it. And so the infinite, almighty God, and I admit to you up front, my mind cannot comprehend this, but the Bible says that the one true living almighty God humbled Himself and became that tiny zygote in Mary's womb. His birth and his childhood were filled with the harsh realities of life at street level. In childhood and manhood, he experienced every single trial and temptation that people experience, including that one that trips you up. He's been there. He's experienced it. But the Bible says, yet without sin. His enemies at one time, well, not many times, were trying to connive as to how to prove that he was sinful. And he looked them straight in the face and said, which of you can prove me guilty of sin? And none of them could, because he didn't have any. Now hear this, friends. This is simple math. God is the only one who is perfectly holy. Do you agree with that? Do you know anybody else who is? God is the only one who is perfectly holy. And it's not just the Bible that proclaims that. There are other religious documents and other religions that proclaim that same truth. God is the only one who is absolutely holy. Jesus was absolutely holy. Even other religious documents will prove that or state that. So if only God is absolutely holy, and Jesus was absolutely holy, you don't need to be a math major to figure this one out, do you? Jehovah Yasha is Jehovah Yasha. He's Yeshua. He is Jesus. He is the eternally holy, sinless, spotless Lamb of God. Through Isaiah the prophet, God foretold, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. This baby Yeshua was none other than Elohim, the mighty Creator, Jehovah Yasha, the God who saves. Dear friends, when you walk through the New Testament, you can see God's plan of salvation in action. It unfolds before your very eyes. It's more thrilling than any blockbuster action movie out of Hollywood. How many of you are going to watch a movie or TV this weekend? Don't put up your hands. If you are, I got a better news. Why don't you go and grab your New Testament and read through the Gospels? It's better than that. It's far better than that. Thank you. Perpetua, that's easy. Do you have a TV? You have a TV, but you still say this is better. Good for you. Good for you. God bless you. Go ahead and look at the New Testament and watch. See this in action, dear friends. God's plan of salvation. As you look at Yeshua's three-year ministry, it's like a blow-by-blow-by-blow fight where he knocks out every opponent to man's wholeness. He healed the lame. He restored sight to the blind. He raised up the palsied. He cleansed the leprous. He restored the mentally disturbed. He welcomed the outcast and the reject. He forgave the prostitute. He produced honesty in a tax collector. He dynamically reformed street people, abusers, and criminals. He set free prisoners of guilt, bitterness, lust, greed, and fear. He released child and adult alike from demonic control. He raised the dead. He calmed the storm. He multiplied food to feed thousands. He showed himself over and over and over again, unquestionably, to be Yeshua, Jehovah Yasha, the God who saves. The New Testament spills over with this, over and over. But you know what? None of these street fights were the main event. The final battle was a bloody, brutal mess. Our Yeshua, the man's only hope for deliverance, the only option we had to get rescued from drowning in the sea of sin, the only option we had, he was being badly beaten. Badly. Sin is what he came for. Sin is what he got. Heaped upon him, the load of the entire world laid upon him. Thorns pressed into his brow. Blood from his various body wounds covered his entire frame. A leaded whip had opened up lacerations on his back. The skin on his face hung in chunks from his beard being plucked out. He was badly bruised from slaps and punches and had spit all over his face. Spikes pierced his hands and his feet and held him firmly upright against a rough wooden cross. And then death, sin's most powerful weapon, rode that soldier's spear up through his ribs into his heart and ushered out his lifeblood. Like a boxing match in the ring where one contender stands victorious over the other guy on the map, having delivered him that knockout blow, Jesus seems to be laying there. And Satan, like an overzealous referee, is so excited, he's down. Death is winning. You can almost see him over there going, "One!" But lo, in the grave he lay, Jesus my Savior, waiting the coming day. Jesus, my Lord. Satan yells, "Two!" Vainly they watch his bed. Jesus, my Savior. Vainly they seal the dead. Jesus, my Lord. Satan, "Three!" Death cannot keep its prey. Jesus, my Savior. He tore the bars away, Jesus, my Lord. And Satan never got to four, because up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph for his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose. He sing. That would keep you and me from the life that God ordained us to have. He rose and he conquered and he is victorious. They've been defeated, dear friends. Do you hear it? The angel said, "Name him Yeshua, because he will save his people from their sins." And true to his name, he did it. He did it. Now let me ask you, how many of our sins did he save us from? How many say all? Careful, you know what's coming. How many of you say he saved us from all our sins? Oh no, just a few hands. Oh yeah, he did. He did, but do you believe it? We say theologically, oh yeah, you can write it on the exam, you can pass it. Do you really believe it? Dear friends, Freddie was leading us this morning in these names from the cross. The last thing Jesus said before he dies is, "It is finished." That's how it's translated in our English Bibles. The word from which we get that is the Greek word tetelestai, and it actually is better translated another way. It was a word that was used by merchants of the day when something was purchased and people paid their account in completion. They would write across the bill tetelestai, meaning paid in full. Nothing left owing. The last thing Jesus says before he breathes his last and goes to be with his Father, the last thing is tetelestai, paid in full. What was paid in full? Our sins. Paid in full, not paid in half. He's Jehovah Yasha, not Jehovah half Yasha. He's the God who sets us free from all of our sin. Now we believe that, but dear friends, how often, even this week, have we been down in the mouth, feeling like that weight of guilt pressing upon us, the devil using us like a football, kicking us around, saying, "You're garbage, you're scum, you did it again. You blew it, you awful person. You call yourself a Christian?" And he boots us around the field. We wonder why we're feeling so down, so awful. Dear friends, Jehovah Yasha, tetelestai, it is paid in full. Hallelujah. Your sins and mine, as we trust Jesus Christ, are removed as far as the east is from the west. I'm glad he didn't say north from south, because there's a limit to that. He said east from west, and that just keeps on going. There's no limits. They're gone forever. Gone forever. Let me quickly move on to show how this reveals also the presence of God. In Matthew 1:22, it continues, it says, "There all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, the virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us." You say, just a minute, isn't this a contradiction? God just said, name him Yeshua, and they're going to call him Emmanuel. What gives here? Is it, which one is it? Well, it says, you name him Yeshua, the people will call him Emmanuel. Why? Well, walk with me back into New Testament times again. Put yourself there in the context. If you went out to the street after the service and you saw somebody running down the street, jumping up and down and singing and shouting and praying, saying, "Yesterday I couldn't see and today I can see everything, I can see you," and they threw their arms around and gave you a big hug, and you'd be asked what happened. He said, "This man named Yeshua came up, touched my eyes, and I can see." Might you not wonder that something a little strange is going on? Could you wonder perhaps that maybe God was involved somewhere along the line? Or suppose you were the one who was born with legs that were all twisted. You'd never known the joy of running. You spent your whole life on the floor or in a chair or on a mat. You never played with your friends. You dreamt about it, but it never happened. And then along comes this man, and he reaches down and takes you by the hand and lifts you up. And instantly those withered limbs become straight and strong. Muscles become instantly ready to use, and you start jumping and leaping and praising God. Do you think that you might suspect that God was in the vicinity? Or maybe you're that prostitute, that one who maybe through no desire of her own had to support the family or was sold into it, or there's many reasons why people get into immorality today. Perhaps that's you.
And Jesus comes along when everybody else is ready to stone you and call you scum, put you in a box and ship you away, and Jesus comes along and say, I don't forgive you. Come, let me clean you. Go and sin no more. And you feel the wash of your soul. You feel the cleansing power of His grace set you free and make you whole. Do you think that maybe you would wonder if God had just touched your life? Or maybe you're that parent whose daughter was laying there. You watch her. You spent the last hours with her. You watched the fever go up and the life go out. You cried. You begged God. You did everything hoping to save her life, but you watched her ebb away and breathe her last. And as the tears stained your face in your pillow and you sobbed hard and deep, in walks this man into your house, calls her by name, lifts her back to life. Tell me, do you think that you might wonder if God was there? Give Him the name Yeshua. Why? Because He will save the people from their sins. And by the way, everybody's going to call Him Emmanuel. God with us. Have you met Jehovah Yahshua? Have you encountered Him not as a name, not as a religion, not as a theology? Have you discovered the God to whom you matter? The God who loves you more than anything, more than your wildest dreams. Have you discovered how much He cares for you? Have you discovered that He wants to rescue you from all that has twisted you out of proportion? From all that has taken you away from God's plan for your life? Have you discovered Him? Have you let Him set you free from your sin? Pay the penalty for all of your sin from the past. To set you free from the power of your sin in the present. And to someday release you from the very presence of sin forever and ever. Have you discovered Him? Dear friends, when I think back to what I was before I trusted Jesus, and how corrupt and how filthy and how broken I had become. And when I think that simply by yielding my life to Him and trusting Him, He came and became in me what He already is. Jehovah Yahshua entered my life and rescued me. Washed me of all my failure and all the corruption that came from my crime and my background of sin. Washed me. Made me new.